Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice day. Thanks again to everybody for their support during the radiothon yesterday. You had fun at the SPCA, Joe?
Yeah, it was a fun time. A lot of dogs there up for adoption. A lot of dogs making their return trip. It was a really fun time getting to see everyone and their pets and hear their amazing stories and help out the amazing work the SPCA does.
Yeah, over $117,000 raised. So again, big thank you to all of Western New York from us at WBEN and, of course, from the SPCA. All right. Not too bad looking outside. I think this is crazy weather for this time of the year where we're not, like, expecting any snow.
Yeah.
I was reminded this morning, though, that, like, of how different it is this year than last year. Like, here we're talking about probably not a white Christmas. Just based on, what you're seeing outside right now. The blizzard last Christmas, the November storm last Christmas, snowfall in between. I mean, it is kind of wild how... Does it make you nervous a little bit?
For after Christmas?
Yeah, like being hammered with something.
Yeah. I mean, this point last year, Brian, we already had a Bills game that was moved to Detroit. I mean, we had already had one storm and did not realize the storm that was 10 days away. Very different. We're in the 40s. I always say this. We're in the 40s. The state, the lake stays warm through the end of December. So that is my, if you're asking the fear, that is my fear.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't mean to bring it up. I just was thinking about it this morning because it was brought up to me and just how crazy it is.
A week before Christmas, we're expecting rainstorms.
Yeah. Which, hope you like Green Christmas. After last year, I think we'll all take it.
I'm not complaining.
All right. So, Joe, a lot going on. We've been kind of putting this off a couple days. We've been meaning to touch on it. A ton going on in the auto industry with so many different auto stories going on, including this one. Auto safety regulators moving toward requiring devices in vehicles that can detect drunk or impaired driving. Here's Allison Keys.
Regulators are beginning the process to put a new federal safety standard in place requiring technology in all new passenger vehicles that would test a driver's breath for alcohol and stop a vehicle from moving if the person is impaired. The NHTSA and 16 automakers are looking into such technology, and another company is looking for a way to test for blood alcohol levels via a person's finger. In 2021, more than 13,000 people were killed in drunken driving crashes. Allison Keys, CBS News, Washington.
I mean, this is something we've talked about before, Joe. It's been this idea that's thrown out, but it seems more and more realistic. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration coming out and saying we're moving toward this being an actual requirement.
Yeah, number one, we have to say this. I am, and I think everyone is, for no drunk drivers, right?
So this is the problem with it, right?
We have to put that
disclaimer. This is the problem with it.
You got to put that disclaimer out there. But I'm very uncomfortable with, this is mandated in all cars now. And, I don't care what the technology is. There is a way for it to malfunction, and there's a way for it to be tricked. Just because you're putting a system in a car does not mean you are 100% solving the problem, in my opinion.
What you just said is the problem with this, because you can't argue like what I think is the more sensical argument and not have the reaction be, you just want to drive drunk. You just want to drink a bunch and get behind the wheel. Like,
exactly.
Oh, what are you, pro-drunk driving? Like, what do you not care about anyone else on the roads? Like, no. But, like, there has to be a line, right? Like, we have so many... There has to be a line of personal responsibility and where that falls out. And you're going to put in every single car, you're going to have some sort of... I mean, what's it going to be? Is it going to be a wheel lock? Like like a court-mandated thing that they install? Like, is every car going to have a wheel lock now that you're going to... Every time you start... It's already enough, like, with the technology that we'll get into, like, starting your car and waiting for everything to turn on.
Yeah.
And now, like, you're adding another step to it.
Well, that's the thing. It won't even turn on.
Is it going to be some sort of, thing inside your car that senses? I mean, then what do you do about passenger? I mean... Is it going to ever malfunction that you can't get to where you're going to go? Is it going to all of a sudden in the middle of the road, your car is going to stop because of some sensor going off? It's just crazy to me that we're just getting right behind some other sort of new technology mandated in vehicles that, okay, in the name of safety, it makes, you know, it's like we said about the 33, makes sense in theory.
Yes.
But in practice, I just don't know if I want something like this required to be in everyone's vehicle.
Well, and let's look at it. Stopping drunk driving. Okay, if it's the first thing you said, or the second thing you said, Brian, the thing where it just detects alcohol in the car, you know, on someone's breath in the car. Well, okay, so what if you're the designated driver? What if you drive rideshare? What if you drive a taxi? So that's going to be something that's going to have issues, right? If it's the first thing, okay, you have to, it's some sort of breathalyzer connected to the car. Is that really stopping drunk driving because you're going to tell me people won't find a workaround? You know what I mean? Like, so again, it sounds good. Number one, I don't think it's going to completely solve the issue. And I think you're going to have more problems with, hey, my car won't start. I'm completely sober. Now, who has to come to the scene to restart the car? The cops? The AAA? Both? What happens when the car does malfunction or wrongly says that it sends alcohol when it doesn't? Now you got to get a cop to come out there, give you a breathalyzer so they can start your car? You know what I mean?
I don't. To me, it's just kind of another example of this like slippery slope thing that we're going. You hear more and more cars, and you can weigh in on this and everything else we're talking about. 803-0930 to join us. 803-0930. Joe, it's never shown more than today just how like zapped I am from this week. Like the no sleep and like throwing it around plays on you so much because I said it was like 5:30 in the morning an hour ago.
Yeah.
Like, numbers are just not making sense to me today.
You were a guest ahead earlier today.
I was a guest ahead.
I know exactly how you feel, and I have to say, I'm not saying this to rub it in. I've gotten more sleep this week than I have in the last few months.
Congratulations.
My son's finally back to sleeping through the night the last few days. I've been exactly where you are. You know exactly what it feels like.
It's just like something in your head is just like anytime a number gets thrown out there or like just a little off on me. I apologize to everybody out there. But anyway, 803-0930 if you want to weigh in on anything we're talking about today. To me, it's the troubling thing. It's not even necessarily the idea of it. Right, because like the idea of it is, and also like where do you set the limit, right? Like New York State is talking about dropping 0.05 now right. Is the limit, which like that in and of itself is, is it debatable? You know, I need to talk to an expert on this to get, you know, how much, you know, 0.05, if you have one drink and you're not really impaired by it at all, could you still do a 0.05? If you're getting behind your own car somewhere.
Well, I'd like to know the perspective of what is a 0.05. Get me to 0.05, yeah. Let me know I'm there, and then ask me, and that will be my perspective.
But to me, it's more about, like, how much more are you going to regulate and mandate what's inside the vehicle? We have already been talking about this idea of mandating mileage inside the vehicle, that there's something that will, you know, put your mileage into a database somewhere so that you can be charged every single year based on how many miles are on your car.
Yeah.
There are all, the backup camera that's something that everyone kind of, you might look at as a positive. But it's still like, here's another piece of technology that has to go in your car, kind of mandated by what should be mandated inside a car? A seatbelt, a steering wheel, the muffler.
Anti-lock brakes.
How many of these, like, at what point do you stop and say, like, how much more do we need? I'm not sure.
And here's where I'm just the most uncomfortable, Brian, and I just want to, you're right, you have to keep on saying, I am all about stopping drunk driving. I am on the train to stop drunk driving. But you also have to look at, if we're talking about a system that shuts down your car, and this is where I am 100% just on. If we're talking about a system that stops your car, you have to factor in this system malfunctioning, right? 4 a.m, I'm going to work. My car won't start. I got to tell Tim I can't make it to work. Right? Why? Well, my car thinks I'm drunk, but I'm not really. Don't you? Then you got to explain to your boss, no, I'm not really drunk. I just, my car's malfunctioning, and it just, well, unless you have a full proof.
Here's the expert thing again. So your example, Joe, say you're out drinking the night before.
Yes. I brush my teeth.
Not everyone does.
Yeah. Okay.
or like you spilled it on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
And then you go in the next morning. I want the expert. Maybe you're not fine to drive the next morning. Like, I'm sure that is the case many times. But maybe you are, and there's just the leftover stench of...
That's a great point. I didn't even think of that.
There's too many questions.
I had a glass of wine with dinner last night.
Yeah.
One glass.
And
is
you
that
get
still
up,
on my breath in the morning?
Right. You get up for work early in the morning. Like, is that still going to be there? 803-0930, Chuck in Cheektowaga. Chuck, what's on your mind?
You know, you guys are bringing up a really excellent subject here, and I agree with you guys. Don't drink and drive. Definitely do not drink and drive. It is a bad thing. But if you got to look at it this way, okay, all these organizations, Mad, Sad, Dad, all these organizations that are out there promoting, no underage drinking, don't drink and drive, blah, 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 get all the municipalities to put up sobriety checkpoints. That is money driven, okay? So the money that's coming into these organizations, that number one, does come from our pockets because they get granted money to go out and talk about these things. I haven't seen one statistic lately, okay, about how many underage drinking and driving cases there have been deaths, okay? I think Mr. Poloncarz or somebody had said a while back that the DWI rates in Erie County or wherever has dropped significantly. Well, that's because of Uber and Lyft and all these companies out there giving people rides. So basically, it's a money thing. But the thing is, the government is not satisfied enough, okay? They want more money. So instead of giving all this money and grants and stuff like that to these organizations, taking manpower away from municipalities when they could be actually out fighting crime, what they're doing is now is making it a little bit more complicated for you to get into a vehicle and drive away drunk. I mean, to me, I've been thinking about this for years. Few of my friends have said the same thing. Eventually, all these little organizations and sobriety checkpoints are going to come to an end because it's a money thing. It's a manpower thing. And eventually, we're going to have to use some sort of technology. Makes sense to me.
Chuck, thanks for the call. And yep. That is some decent insight. And you're bringing up the drinking and driving aspect of it. And I think I'm just looking at this from a completely different... I'm like washing off all the alcohol from like this entire conversation. And Joe, to me, it's the same reason why, why I'll never drive a Tesla. Not just because it's an EV. I mean, that might be. Okay. But like, I think they're well-made, super cool cars.
Yeah, the steering wheel's little.
We got Tesla employees here in Buffalo. You know, you can support them like that. I will never drive that car. Because of things like this that are in the news. So the autopilot, it's not even the autopilot that bugs me. How are they fixing it? Well, we'll just send your car an update and change the software in your car remotely. And now, listen, I know a lot of new cars, this is done maybe the same way. I actually had to take mine into a dealership to get the software upgrade. So you have to manually do something.
Oh.
But that idea that cars now, you can have the dealership... And now, are we bringing the government into this? All of a sudden, overnight, while you're sleeping, zoop, over the air, beam out some software upgrade to your car that says, I mean, imagine this. And like, this is where I have to preface this, like everyone's prefacing, hey, I'm against drinking and driving. I have to preface this by saying, I'm not some big conspiracy theory guy. I don't want to go down like crazy rabbit holes and, you know, the slippery slope into a cliff or anything. But like, how soon does that turn into? We're going to hear a little bit later today about driving bans in Erie County and who's yep. applicable. How soon does that turn into, driving ban, let's send the update to all the cars. You can't start until 7 o'clock tonight when the snow stops.
And people like you and me, who might be essential, would have to register their card and not get that.
I know it sounds like a crazy person talking.
It doesn't. Because I was going to say something very similar. Now, people are going to get mad at me because... But how about the time in East Aurora where I didn't know I got a ticket? Remember this? And they sent me the thing. We did a whole show about this. I got the thing in the mail that you missed your court date. What if they... Okay, this is Joe Beamer's car. Zip! And they turn the car off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like... Honestly, I did not remember the parking ticket that I got in East Aurora.
Your inspection, your registration, your anything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, this is the day at midnight the car shuts off.
And look, that sounds crazy, but look at Tesla just sent over the air. We're going to, you know, software update to people without the driver having to do anything or maybe even knowing that it happened.
And by the way, they make you take your car into the deal. You want to talk about conspiracy guy right here. They make you take your car in the dealership because they don't want you to know that they can access it.
That's, you know, you might be onto something there. So, but like all this technology, it makes me uncomfortable when talking about, and especially when it comes to mandating new technology, which kind of brings up the second part of this show. And that is, what technology are you okay with? What technology do you never want to see in your personal vehicle? 803-0930, you can weigh in on this. Because I was thinking about this when we're talking about all these stories, the alcohol detection device that the NHTSA is talking about, the EV stories that, you know, we'll bring in a little tidbit in the next hour here, or in the next half hour. But what technology do you need to have? Can you not live without new technology in your car? And what technology are you just, you just don't ever want to see in a car? 803-0930. Now, what year is your car, Joe?
2015.
So you're, see, I feel like you are at that sweet spot.
Oh, yeah.
I think for a lot of people of having a decent amount of tech in the car and not going overboard with it.
Yeah, I've got the Bluetooth, I've got the backup cam, the side cams, which are very nice. But you know what? I don't believe anyone can access my car from a checkpoint, you know?
You're not waiting. Your dash is still your dash. It still looks like a car.
Yes.
It's not all digital.
There's not a tablet in the middle of my car.
So I like go back and forth on this. I mean, first of all, the technology I can't live without, the first thing I'm going to say is heated seats. But I don't think that's really a new technology. That's been around for a while.
So I had a 98 Altima that had heated seats.
Well, we'll take that off the table for now. But I struggle to think, like, okay, the backup camera. I love having it. It makes, like, you parallel park. I mean,
it's a game changer.
It's the easiest thing in the world. It's basically like the car will do it itself now. I mean, it's so easy. Do I absolutely need it? No.
No.
I live, you know, so far without it. I can still parallel park without it. I can still do all these things without it. It's a really nice hat. The Apple CarPlay, plugging my, you know, you plug your phone in and you have your apps on the little screen.
You want to talk about dangerous?
That's super hard to give up. I don't know if I can give that up after.
And how long have you had that?
Two or three years.
And in that time, it's become essential.
I don't know if I could do any other way.
Can I tell you this? Because I love, you know, my smartphone, I love my smartwatch. I love all the technology things. But if someone called in and said, Joe, we fixed up your 98 Altima that you had in high school, only 120,000 miles. We will give that to you absolutely free. You can have that car back with the 98 technology. Brian, I would take that car back in an instant. Because the first argument would be, well, what about Bluetooth? Well, I have a cassette tape that plugs into my phone.
Oh, my goodness.
I could go back to that and I would be set.
I don't know. What about you? 803-0930, PMS and Beamer on WBEN.
Hey, welcome back. Brian, I got to ask you this. We're talking about cars. So last night, I'm filling up the car and there is something.
How much you pay?
What's that?
For gas.
Well, I only put like $35 worth in. So
yeah, but price a gallon.
Oh, $3.56.
$3.09.
Oh, in Niagara County?
Yeah.
At a certain place that doesn't sell gas in Erie County?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm filling up and...
No, not at the res, if that's what you meant.
Oh, I know it's not the res.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's at a place that there's one of those in Erie County, but they don't have gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a person in front of me with the license plate, and I'm sorry, can I give away if it's like a vanity plate, or is that like against the rules?
I mean, come on, spill it.
Okay. T.M. Petty. So, okay. A Tom Petty fan. Is there a musician that you are so much a fan of that you would get their name on your license plate?
Ooh, because I think there's a big difference there between a band name and a person's name, right?
I think so, but just
do you think it makes? I think it makes a big difference. Like if I'm putting Tom Petty there, if I'm putting what, you know, whoever, Taylor Swift, like, you know, the singer from a band there, like, that's, I would never do that.
Okay. Band?
A band? Yeah, I think I would do that.
Really?
Why not?
I mean, I can't see myself ever justifying paying for a vanity plate, but if it was, it'd be like one of my sports teams, I think.
Yeah, no kidding. You got the stickers all over your car and everything. The riding around with a Motorhead license plate, that would be pretty cool.
I guess, and I'm sure there's like, yeah, Beatles and Kiss.
Kiss This.
Yeah.
Right on the back bumper.
You think Kiss This has a Kiss This license plate?
I'm sure there's that.
I just saw that. I was like, this person must be the biggest Tom Petty fan in Western New York.
Ooh.
To get that, I mean, that's a huge step.
You should have to do like Tom Petty, like a Tom Petty gauntlet against other top Tom Petty fans. And if you don't finish him first, you have to give up the license plate.
Oh, I like that. We should do that contest right here if that person's listening.
I remember seeing one of the, when they brought back the Hummers, the original Hummers, someone had a vanity plate global warmer. I'm like, wow, this guy is leaning into it. 803-0930 to join us here. We are talking cars because there's been a lot of auto stories in the news lately, including this about alcohol detection devices. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration wants to move toward requiring those devices in vehicles that can detect drunk or impaired driving. Now, I mean, that... I find the topic hard to talk about, Joe, because everyone has to start with, now, look, I'm no fan of drunk driving. Like, it's like we feel the need to state the obvious. But the bottom line is there's a level of technology I think a lot of people would be uncomfortable with having in their cars. And quite frankly, there's a level of technology. You know, I mentioned Tesla in the last segment. How many people go and buy a Tesla car or any of these cars? I mean, it's not just Tesla. They're just kind of the easy one because they send out, you know, the software update, push it out to your car, and it updates without you really even noticing. But how many people buying cars that have that capability even know it? And, like, that just makes me a little bit uneasy. So we're asking people, 803-0930, what is the technology in a car that you can't live without, that you'd have a hard time going backwards with? What is the technology in your car you never want to have in there? Is there like a stop point? Now, Joe, you said 2015.
2015, yes.
Is your car. Like, that might be the perfect stop point of like where the tech is, you have enough convenience there, but it's not overbearing or overreaching. Like, you have enough to get going, but there's you're not lacking at all.
Yes, it's a decent sized backup camera, unlike the very early ones, right? But again, no one can access it. There's no chance that the manufacturer of the car is all of a sudden going to start charging me for heated seats or heated steering wheel.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
Toyota is talking about going back and like even cars that are on the market now taking away your car starter capability and charging you a subscription if you have that.
It's like that's like when Jerry on Seinfeld, he's buying a car and he goes, key fee, and Putty goes, how are you gonna start it?
Yeah. But that's like that kind of stuff. I think it's basically anything connected. Anything that puts your car too connected to whatever it is, the cloud or you know, whatever it is. That's where I start to feel a little pushback. I was thinking about this in my own car because it's like a love-hate relationship I have with all the new software that's in there. So my dash is still mostly normal. You see some of these new dash boards, and I think it was one of the new trucks. I think one of the new GMC trucks and the dash. Someone posted a video of this. The dash is all electronic. So it might look, you know, while you're driving, like it has the dials. It's all like one big electronic screen. And you start the car up. And Joe, it's like when you go to the movies and you see the little, like the Paramount Pictures, like graphic that they do. You know, it's like who's fishing in the lake? Is that DreamWorks?
Yes.
Like, oh, casting the line in the lake and then like, oh, the scene plays out in the DreamWorks. And it was that. It was like mountains and you're soaring like an eagle through the great plains of the country, GMC. And I'm like, this happens every time you start your car? This is the most annoying thing in the world. I start the car, I gotta wait you know, 30 seconds for your little feature film to play out on my dash? No, thank you. Like, that's crazy.
Get the hell out of here.
But, like, that kind of stuff I don't like. It's a love-hate relationship with mine. So I've got the screen. It's not as big and ridiculous as a lot of the screens are now. I still have actual buttons and knobs for the heat, for everything else.
Yes.
Which I need. I don't like that being behind a touchscreen. It is on... Is it a majority of new cars coming out? I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
But I still have the actual knobs for that. However, switching like the radio, the whole audio thing is linked up to this screen, which has to load when you start the car. So I can't anymore easily. And there's a button on the steering wheel to switch like AM, FM, Bluetooth, your phone, like whatever else is connected. But it doesn't work until that thing loads. So I'm backing up, and I back all the way out of my driveway and put it in drive before I can change the radio.
Wow.
On the car. And it's just, again, is it the end of the world? No. Like, it sounds almost ridiculous to complain about it. But it's that little thing every morning that I'm like, are you kidding me here? Yeah,
it was nice when you could turn the car on and the radio's on the minute
the car
turns
on. Yeah, and then boom, and then there's one button right there, boom, next to station, boom, AM, FM, like whatever it is you want to listen to, it's there on a button.
I'll say that is one thing that I like. My old car was digital. The car I have now, I like the dials being the real dials. I don't want digital dials on my dashboard. So my speed, my gas, my RPMs, all that stuff. I mean, I don't look at the RPMs. The fluid temperature. I like those being actual dials. I don't know why. I know that's really weird. I like the just old school. When I turn the car off, those dials are still there. I like that.
I like the, now I could go back because I used to have the digital speedometer, and then I had the normal speedometer, and now I'm back to the digital again. You can choose which one you want on my car, which probably most cars will let you do that. I like having the digital speedometer there. How fast am I going? Boom. Like, I know instantly. It's like a digital clock in here. Like, can I read an analog clock? Sure. Like, would I wear a digital clock on my wrist? No, I think it's a little tacky. But for the purpose of instantly knowing what time it is, even though I said it wrong like twice today. like boom, it's 9:45. Like, I don't have to look at the clock and be like 9:40, like it's 9:45, 46, like okay, 45, like it's right on. There's none of that going on. I just, for like that instant boom, boom, I see a cop, boom. All right, I'm going 10 over. Oops.
I think it's this, and this is gonna sound ridiculous. I understand it before I even say it. I trust the old school speedometer more than a digital numbered one. Like, I trust, okay, this is 45, I'm going 45. It's just like you have your gas tank reader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to a certain number, it'll say you have 20 miles left, you have 19 miles left. I always find that number to be a little off.
Oh, well, they definitely tell you less than what you actually have.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of feel the opposite on that, but
yeah,
to each their own. I like the instant read.
Don't get me wrong. If, again, we go back, someone said, Joe, there's a DeLorean outside for you. It's yours if you want it. I'm not going to say, I don't want the digital read.
Yeah.
Because remember, in Back to the Future, it was a digital read. I will take a digital read if someone was to offer me a DeLorean.
As much as that annoys me about the screen in the car and whatever, having the Apple CarPlay, the linking up your phone, and I think people would agree on this who have it, I think that would be impossible for me to move back from. Like, absolutely impossible. I've always hated the having, if you need directions, you need to use your phone GPS to somewhere, using your phone for, I'd be holding it in one hand. I never got one of those stupid phone holder thingies.
What are you calling stupid?
I just hate it. Like, I hate having that extra arm or whatever in the car. Like, I see some people with it attached to their, like, it's right in front of them. How do you see the road? Like, it's on their thing.
Mine's off to the side on the AC vent.
Like, and I just don't like it taking up any real estate like that. Here, it's on the screen that's on your dash, and there's Google Maps, Apple, whatever you use. It's there on the screen. I don't think I could ever go away from that. And then music, you know, whatever. Boom. Like, it's there. Your playlist, your whatever. It's as much as I loved having the CD player in the car and, you know, would unwrap, throw it in there. I couldn't go away from just having everything instantly boom, boom, boom right there without having to touch your phone.
I don't think, now I love the backup cam, and I do think the backup cam was a game changer, as you said, when you parallel park, and if you're downtown, parallel parking. I don't think, and I'm honestly, I mean this, I mean, you might be able to call me on it, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. I don't think there's anything in my car now that I absolutely positively need. I think I could default back to my 98 Altima and be completely as comfortable on the road now as I am in the car I'm driving.
But,
and again, 2015, I realized.
That's the thing. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, 2015. I will call you out on the Bluetooth thing. Like, if you're listening to your phone audio through Bluetooth and you say, oh, I'll just go back to plugging it into a tape player. One, now you can't just plug it into a tape player. Now you need a special dongle to go from the tape player because your phone doesn't have the same headphone jack anymore. So
True.
You need the extra thing to go from the tape player jack into your phone. And then you're constantly doing everything on your phone to figure out what's playing. There's no control over it. You'd have to pick up your phone to hear whatever it is you want to.
Well, never. I wouldn't have to pick it up. I have it on my little arm holder that you talked about.
Yeah, but I would call you on that. Like, if you went back, you would be like, this sticks.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be able to if I'm playing one of my playlists and I don't like the song. You're right. If it's hooked up to the cassette, I'm not going to play next. I actually have to listen to the song because I'm not going to distract myself by staring at my phone to change the song. Right now, I have a button on my steering wheel. Boop, next.
Yeah.
When it's in Bluetooth. You're right. That would be annoying. I don't think it would. I don't think I would say I have to have that, is what I'm saying. I don't think there's anything I have to have on the new car that I've gotten so used to that I couldn't revert back. And I already have the adapter for my phone because I work out still with corded headphones because I feel like when I have Bluetooth headphones, then they're going to fall off or fall out of my ear.
Yeah. I just I don't think you'd be able to. Just because the CarPlay thing, like I would say, you know, I was fine driving in the car with my CD player and like the little clock. Like, there was no display.
Right.
In the car I had before. The display was the clock.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, I think it might have shown, like, track 9, you know, on the whatever CD you were playing. But, like, that there was no other display. As much as I say I was fine with that, once you start using the big screen, especially with the directions.
Yeah.
The directions is the big thing. But then added in, like, all the other apps that you get to do. I don't think I could go back. I also don't think I'd want to go further. The only other piece of technology I want in the car is to make that wireless. Like, a lot of cars now have the wireless CarPlay or the wireless Android Auto.
You're
where you don't have to
up?
Plug it in. I still have to plug mine in. The only thing I would want is to make that wireless. Aside from that, I have the perfect level of technology in the car right now. We'll go to Jan in Amherst. Jan, you're on WBEN.
Yeah, I wanted to let you guys know, if somebody gives you a DeLorean, it doesn't have a digital speedometer.
You're right.
It has an analog speedometer.
You're right. But Doc Brown put the digital in to set it to 88. You're absolutely right. I misremembered. It is an old school speedometer in the DeLorean in Back to the Future. You are absolutely right.
There you go.
Hey, Jen, is there a piece of technology in the car that you can't live without?
That I can't live without? Yes, air conditioning.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, that would be one. Hey, Jan, thanks for the call.
There are people who remember cars without air conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah. Air conditioning, like, that would be one. For people who have there are things that you can live without, but once you have them, there's no turning back. Like, for me, the heated seats, like, that was the one. Once I had that, like, wow, like, there is no, I need this. I think the remote start is that for a lot of people here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
If you live in Western New York in the winters and you have the remote start once and you're getting into the car and not just going, like, slamming and swearing on the dashboard like what you're used to doing, it is such a nice feeling.
Yeah. But if you ask someone this question in the summer, they will completely forget what it's like until that first winter day.
Not necessarily, because people use it all summer long with the AC, too.
To cool it down. That's
the
point.
It cools down the car. You're never, like, stepping into a overly hot car. I don't use it during the summer. Just, like, you know, I think it's a little bit of a waste. Because I sometimes like the feeling of stepping into the car and everything's on fire. Like, yeah. It's just a sauna in there.
Also, for me, when you turn the AC on, it cools down pretty quickly once you start driving. You know, I say I don't think I'll miss anything. Brian, the one thing I think I'd miss more than when it comes to the Bluetooth is really the backup cam. I mean, I really do think of all the things we've mentioned, that was the game changer when driving, was the backup cam. I mean, I was really never one to parallel park until I could see everything around me. That, and you know, and this isn't in my car, it's on my phone, but directions at your fingertips, I think, was a game changer when it comes to driving as well.
Oh my. I mean, do you remember like fumbling? Did you ever have a TomTom?
No.
Or a Garmin?
No, until I had a smartphone that with GPS, it was MapQuest printouts from the printer.
The Garmin thing was like difficult enough to get directions to, and that you had to like take to a computer constantly update, because remember there's no updating.
No.
You know, now you plug into Google Maps or whatever. It's like, hey, construction going on here. Like, this road's closed or whatever.
There's a cop here.
No, like, the Garmin was just, hope the road's the same as it was 2 years ago.
Right. If you didn't take it there and update it, you could have bad information.
And then the man, like, oh, drive 2 miles to go. Like, oh, brother. Like, I think we are so far gone with going back to that. Like, you would have had to never use the things that we have now to be able to go back.
I remember I was driving to, was it Ohio? I was driving somewhere with friends from college, and it was 4 pages from the MapQuest, and we lost the second page. No lie, we lost the second page of the MapQuest directions.
You're done. better have a printer too, like to be able to.
That's right.
Get that out. On the text board, Joe. This one, I'm like, it's boggling my mind. It's bothering me. Someone texted in, my coworker is a huge Bills fan since forever. You were talking about vanity plates.
Yes.
His vanity plate is The Rock. Joe, without the context there, so it's The Rock for the rock pile.
Yeah.
No one sees that and thinks The Rock pile.
I think of another rock.
The Rock.
Yeah.
I actually think of, and I think most people go to The Rock, I think of the Prudential Center in New Jersey before The Rock pile. Because that's an arena currently in use that people will go to, and I hear it like, you know, the Rock pile was before I was even born.
Yeah, I mean, the Rock, even with the Bills stuff, I would still think like, oh, they're a Bills fan and a huge WWE fan.
You could have a vanity plate with a Bills logo, The Rock. I would still think it's The Rock.
Yeah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Like, that's the only thing that I would ever think that is. I don't mean to say you got a bad vanity plate. If you like it, you like it.
I mean, no offense.
No one's looking at that guy and is like, that is the biggest Bills fan in the world. You're like, that guy is going to Raw next time it's in town.
Exactly. That I'm thinking the person with the Rock plate was at WrestleMania with us.
Yeah. all right. We'll be back here tomorrow, Joe, after the holiday party tonight.
Oh, yes. I mean, holiday party etiquette. We're going to observe some things that I think will make for a good show tomorrow. And it's our final show together before Festivus and Christmas. So we'll have to make a count.
Oh, is it?
It is, yes.
Oh, my. That's sneaking up on me.
Yeah,
all
for
right.
Sure.
Well, we'll get back to it tomorrow. You got David in here next after the news on WBEN.